Huh.
Watching Kyle's unboxing videos again?
Yeah, he always finds the coolest... No way! A robot dog? Gotta ask where he got it.
Or use your Samsung Galaxy S24 Ultra. Just draw a circle around the dog on your screen, and it shows you where to buy it right in the app.
Oh, I just learned a new trick. And that for once, I beat Kyle to the next big thing.
Circle it, find it with the new Galaxy S24 Ultra and circle the search with Google. Get yours now at Samsung.com. Internet connection required. Results may vary based on visuals.
Let's go live!
Live!
We'll do it live!
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
You said you wanted to meet me in private? You got it.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
You can't win in this league consistently unless you have a first-rate quarterback.
New England should 100% pick whoever they feel is the best quarterback available.
Earlier on the show, ESPN NFL draft analyst Matt Miller, senior writer for the MMQB. Albert Breer, coming up, comedian Alex Edelman, and now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, indeed, hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Fun show so far. Matt Miller talking NFL draft. He's a draft expert from ESPN Hour 1. Albert Breer talking about everything in hour number two, about what he's hearing about, who might be trading up, who might not, who's the quarterbacks that might go in what order, and things of that nature. First 2 hours of this show was really dynamite. Just had my top moments of opening day in power ranking style. That was a lot of fun. Just a lot of fun stuff did happen in Major League Baseball's opening day on Thursday.
It was a great opening day.
And now the Mets are playing. So that's happening today.
Sorry.
TJ, are you more bummed about the state of the Mets or the Cowboys?
Oh, come on. The Mets are it's the Cowboys. It's the Cowboys.
Yeah, because I can see at least next year when we get some more money. I think next year's going to be a big year for the Mets. I think this might just be a throwaway year, but I don't know what the Cowboys are doing, man.
Dude, but the Mets have made the World Series in the last 25 years.
Oh, you aren't for a
couple
me.
Times.
Once.
Right? Once?
Yeah, I was there.
Oh, yeah, just once. Okay.
No, 2000 and recently.
No, recently. That's what I said. Twice.
2015, yeah.
Well, twice since the Cowboys last made an NFC Championship game.
Gotcha.
Yeah. That's what I meant by
you could argue the Mets have brought you more joy in the last 30 years.
Yes, you could make that argument.
I mean, I was very happy in 2015. You know, I can't front about that. That was a magical year.
The fact that you root for a team that's given you more joy than the Cowboys, and they're the Mets. Should we all go up and hug them? Should we all leave our chairs and go hug them?
Probably.
Don't come over here.
It's not a lie.
Thank you so much.
If you believe it.
Oh, that's the assistant to the traveling secretary right there for the Yankees.
Though, Rich Eisen is all
the Mets. The Mets once tried to poach him. Don't forget.
That's true.
Let's try to poach George.
We're winning next year.
I had a fun, quick chat in our commercial break with the comedian Alex Edelman, who's a former member of the Red Sox and Dodgers organization.
How about that?
So is he related to Jules?
I don't think so. I mean, I think we're all those two Edelmans and myself members of the same tribe.
Don't forget Feller.
Hold on a minute. He spent a day. I'm reading from my notes from the as put down on these great cards by Liz Weld, our dynamite co-executive producer. He spent a decade as a speech writer for the Dodgers and Red Sox. Who's he writing speeches for?
Interpreters?
Is he writing John Henry's speech of "We will not pay"? That's the name of the speech. We will not pay.
Rich, I'm in such a great mood after last night's opening win. Please don't mention it.
He hosted Norman Lear's 100th birthday.
No, that's cool.
Wow, that's dope.
May you rest in peace. Okay. Okay.
Okay.
I can't stop saying that.
Two left, by the way. Two left.
Two left. Again, you are going to, this Sunday,
so
the cameo.
Watch Sunday night is what you're saying.
You cannot.
Don't record.
You must watch Sunday night.
Must watch Sunday
because
night.
It will be everywhere. Who's on Sunday night?
So we don't want to hear nothing come Monday when we're spoiling stuff.
Well, right? I will not be in the chair. I will be in family vacation, spring break with the kids.
Kurt
Morrison will be here. At any rate, so that's what's up.
You're leaving us?
Not leaving you. What do you mean I'm not leaving you? Not leaving you. I'm just stepping away from you.
I don't like that.
That's okay. Don't worry, I'll be taking pictures of all my meals and posting it on Instagram for Chris.
It doesn't bother me. It bothers Chris.
Just for Chris.
I like to know you're still alive and flourishing.
Enjoy your time away. Don't bring your phone.
I, by the way, I plan not to be on my phone.
Good. Right.
Attaboy.
What does that mean?
I'm proud of you.
Hold on a minute. I'm an adult, 54 years. You don't think I could stay off my phone?
I don't, actually.
That is so wrong.
Absolutely not. You can't.
Here's what we're going to do. Here's what we'll do.
I do. I honestly do.
Thank you. Here's what we will do. Excuse me.
I'm waiting for the text from Susie any moment now.
Right?
Here's what we will do.
She sent one yesterday.
We will look at my screen time after the show. And then you will look at my screen time when we return.
Okay.
At least 20% down. At least.
It should be like 75% down.
All right. So then that's my goal. Okay. 75%
great.
Down.
Great.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
You can go 20% down. You know what I mean?
I will be.
You can go 20% down.
Is that my goal? Is that my goal? 75% less screen time.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
I would say at least half.
I'd say 50.
Half.
50%.
Half.
Is the goal for my trip. 50% less
no
screen time.
No calls to Jerry, no pacing, no
texting.
No calling, just relaxing, no texting. You are on.
No food picks.
You are on.
No, is this a vacation or is it a trip?
It's a trip because the kids are going.
Okay, so.
Oh, it's a trip.
Okay, I'll give you 45%.
No, it's okay.
Yeah, half. Half is an honest, reasonable goal.
By the way, half would be significant for me. Significant. Because I've got a business to run.
That's what I'm saying.
He runs an empire.
That's right. Me and Walter White. Yeah. I'm in the empire business, pal.
We got Detroit to get to.
So tread lightly. That's right. We're making plans for Detroit. I just spoke to our, I don't want to get into it, but we have a location. We're good. We're pacing.
All right, 35% because you are running a business.
Terzo in Iowa, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Goalpost.
What's up, Terzo?
Terzo,
hey, what's up, guys?
What up?
You back?
Hey, happy you're back, Brockman. Hey, Rich, I'm always happy whenever we got MLB back. Yesterday was a lot of fun. I love being able to turn on the TV and see baseball. It's just a great time of the year, and I just love being able to enjoy that through the summer. So I'm happy that we got ball back. I got a hot take and or maybe an overreaction for you, Rich.
Yes, sir.
All right. So after watching the Bucks lose again last night and actually look pretty bad in doing it, I kind of have a feeling that they might get bounced in the first round. As much as I don't want to say it, I have kind of a sneaky suspicion that might happen to them the way they're playing defense.
Okay. That'll be quite disappointing.
That's a bold statement.
That's a very bold statement. Okay. What else you got?
I know, and that's kind of the difficult part that I'm having with it. But next thing is, I was sad to see ISU lose last night. That was a tough game for them. They played hard all year long. It was a fun team to watch. And with Coop, I had him going a little bit further as well.
Too. Yeah.
But shout out to the Sly Clones on a good year.
Yeah, Cooper Eisen's bracket got busted last night. He had Iowa State in our pool. Well, he has another one, but I don't know. All I know, and thanks for the call, Terzo. All I know is if Coop doesn't have a miraculous comeback this weekend, then and UConn does go on further, then his older brother Xander will knock him out of fantasy basketball and have a better bracket than him, which will make for some dicey moments on the trip next week. Dicey moments. There might have to be some separation.
But is X-Man the type to like really rub that in?
Do you want to ask that again? What? Are you serious?
I don't know. Is he the one to rub it in?
Little brother.
Coop strikes me as the type to really rub it in.
Xander will. Okay. It will be a moment for him, multiple times, I imagine. And then we'll have to move on. All right. Speaking of moving on, it's a Friday. It's time for What's More Likely. Hey. Hit it.
What?
What's more likely?
Never say ever, but never.
All right. What do you got over there, Christopher?
Hey, guys. Happy Friday. Everybody good?
We're good. Yeah.
Everybody good?
Thanks for asking. Really appreciate that. Shout out
to the YouTubers. Love you guys. All right. We've been talking a lot about the NFL draft, obviously, and who's going to be the second quarterback taken. But who's more likely to be the third quarterback taken in the draft? Jaden Daniels, Drake May, or J.J. McCarthy?
It's Drake May is more likely right now. I think that's the guy. Right now, that's more likely to be taken third overall in this draft.
By whom?
That's the question, isn't it? I think it's your team. I think Bob Kraft has put his thumb on the scale of just like, I want a young quarterback around here. He knows the way this works. For 20 years, he had the best of them. He knows what it's like to be behind the velvet ropes of the quarterback club. And I think he misses it badly. And he knows in terms of getting it back, you know, signing a free agent quarterback for $20, $30 million a year ain't it. Just do what everyone else that's behind the velvet ropes of a quarterback club is draft the right one, surround him with the right system and the right people and the right coaching staff, and off you go. And he saw what Mac Jones looked like in year one with a roster that had, you know, just come off of Tom Brady's last year, a playoff season, although one and done. And Josh McDaniels is the offensive coordinator, and he saw what Mac Jones looked like, and he looked down at the field, and he looked down at the stands of Gillette, and he saw everybody wearing number 10 jerseys. So let's go. Like, he saw what that was like, and then he saw what happened the next year when McDaniels was gone, and we don't need to relitigate. So I think it's going to be Drake May as a New England Patriot. If I had to guess right now in terms of the likeliest outcome, what else do you have over there, Chris?
New Panthers head coach Dave Canales talking about competing for the division next year.
Why wouldn't he talk that way?
Because they had the worst record in the league.
I'm aware of that. So are the Bears. So is Justin Fields sitting there in the Pittsburgh Steeler organization.
Yeah. Well, it just made me think about the two teams that would have picked one and two had the Panthers had their pick. Well, I could have a better chance to go worse to first next year, Panthers or Commanders.
Oh, I'll go the Commanders.
Both teams have new head coaches.
I understand that. Oh, yeah. The Commanders have a much better roster than the Panthers, I think. For sure.
And despite playing in a tougher division?
No, I know that. Who's tougher division? Who's the tougher division?
Than the South. I mean, the NFC South is easier than the East, right?
Why would you say that?
Dallas 12 wins last year, Eagles Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Dallas 12 wins last year, getting one and done by an NFC North team with a kid who's never been in the playoffs before.
Giants
and then the Philadelphia Eagles. The Philadelphia Eagles, who easily were down with the Panthers as one of the worst teams from Thanksgiving on.
You think the South is better
than the East? Why wouldn't you think that right now with the way that Atlanta is stacked with Kirk Cousins, the way that the Bucs did? Did well and they're re-signing everybody. I mean,
interesting.
Honestly, Jason, for sure.
I thought you didn't do hot takes.
I'm not doing a hot take. I'm looking at things with clear eyes, full heart, can't lose.
Oh man, I'm throwing this up as a Twitter poll real quick.
Oh, of course, to a Twitter poll. What a great way to see if I'm right or wrong, Chris.
Well, we have very educated followers.
The Commanders have a very nice roster, and Jaden Daniels coming in can perform well in that roster, I think.
They
have great receivers.
They have good receivers.
They have a defense that I'm assuming is going to perform better. So when Dan Quinn now bringing a different style.
Dan Quinn's going to bring it.
Okay. So I'd go Commanders there. Oh, better chance to go up worst to first. Sure.
Oh,
I mean,
why not?
It's not going to happen. I don't
know. It's not going to happen either way. But
it's not going to happen. Probably not. But you never know.
Okay.
It happens every year. Somebody goes worst to first.
Well, I mean, the Panthers have a worse roster, but supposedly an easier path to first place because Dallas and Philadelphia is up there. But the Commanders have a better team.
Good roster, rookie quarterback, new head coach. Okay, how about this one then? I know what you think of the NFC East, so maybe this is an obvious answer, but Saquon Barkley said he was talking to Houston, had conversations with CJ Stroud. Who's more likely to win more games next year, Texans or Eagles?
Ooh.
Good one. I'll go Texans.
No regression for C.J. Stroud or anything?
I need to see what this looks like without Kelce in the middle of the offensive line before I start sitting here and thinking, oh, okay, so now they got it right. They got the coordinators in a better position. You know, Howie Roseman did make some very nice moves in free agency. I do love the addition of Saquon Barkley, and I think that the Eagles are going to have a terrific season, certainly better than last. Well, why are we sitting here thinking the Texans were just a one-off? I don't think so. I don't think so. So I'll just throw the Texans out there just for, you know, what's and giggles right here. What else, Chris?
I'm not saying I disagree with you. I kind of think it's
similar. How about same? I'll say they'll have the same number of double-digit wins.
Same? 11?
Why not?
Interesting.
10's also double digits.
That's true.
Chris?
That's true. You're right.
You know what
I mean? You're right.
9 single, in case you want to be, you know, show off my math acumen.
Well done.
What else, Chris?
Well done. Who's more likely to be with the Cowboys in 2025?
Jerry Jones.
Good one. Dak Prescott or Mike McCarthy?
Damn act together. Oh.
You're so disrespectful.
How am I disrespectful? I'm disrespectful?
To the Cowboys, you are.
Settle down just a little bit.
I am not disrespectful at all for the Dallas Cowboys. Are you kidding me?
Maybe a little bit.
I am not disrespectful.
Just a tiny bit.
I'm not
Ron Burgundy?
I'm the only... Honestly, I'm just... I came back and told you what was going to happen.
I mean, that is true. You did. But then you couldn't believe it was happening, even though you
still
knew
can't
it was
believe
happening.
What was going to happen. But if everybody's on a one-year all-in deal, right?
Neither one of them could be.
You know who's not on a one-year all-in deal is Jerry Jones. This is why I said what I said.
I know.
I don't think I was being disrespectful.
Great photo.
But I'll go with Dak, man. I'll go with Dak. I can't imagine. I mean, I cannot imagine they are going to go into this season with Dak Prescott having only 17 regular season games, plus who knows what, left on his contract. I still cannot believe it.
Honestly, what week next year are we like, Belichick, Cowboys, lock it in? What week next year? Week two of the playoffs.
We're making the playoffs. Come on, dog.
Oh, I think the Cowboys are—they're a playoff team. They were last year. It's the same roster, just 1 year older. And I think they'll have
no running back.
Well, not as of now.
Malake's out there. I'm just saying. Like, I'm not saying we're ever winning the Super Bowl again, but we'll make the playoffs for sure. I think. I hope.
TJ is going to draft Rico Daddle third round in his fantasy league.
See what I'm saying?
Because Rico could be the starting running back.
Hit him with the Rico.
And by the way, who the hell knows how we can have all of our fun here.
It's fun. Now until Rico has about 1,100 yards rushing.
Is their free agency tracker still the same?
Hoskins, do not. Don't do it. Don't you do it, Mike Hoskins.
I would go Dak. I think Dak's a Cowboy for life, man. I think at the end of the day.
For life.
Like Mac 10.
Like Tom Brady was a Patriot for life? Aaron Rodgers was a Packer for life?
Listen, Chris, you know, these are just examples that didn't go the way.
What else you got over there?
All right, a couple off ones real quick. What's more, a little March Madness? What's more likely, Caitlin Clark wins her first natty, or UConn goes back-to-back?
Oh, UConn going back-to-back, man. ESPN had a dicey moment, Iowa versus West Virginia the other day. And I think they all got down on their hands and knees and played to the TV ratings basketball gods and put Caitlin Clark's jersey on their hope chest. And so she's through.
I think David Stern made a call to the officials.
Oh, stop.
I mean,
I don't know. I hope she does what, you know, for all of her fans out there
and for all
the Iowa fans out there. But, dude, UConn is better
now. They just won by 30 last night.
The stat I told you before is that of the 60 second half minutes they played in this tournament, they have led for 58 and a half of them.
That's insane.
By double digits.
Not single digits, by double digits.
They've had, and their average margin of victory last year in the six games was 20 points per game. It's 28.7 points per game here, which means what? They'd have to win the next few games by less than 10, by single digits, for that to be the same average, pretty much.
No chance. I mean, they're just... wagon.
So, I think UConn's going back to back. You never know. Illinois's up next, and then Clemson or Alabama's up after that, and then you just see the eight teams that are playing tonight. One of them will be standing in the way of potentially what it looks like is UConn. So,
last one, a quick baseball. What's more likely to be the higher total: Dodgers wins or Rockies losses?
Ooh.
Rockies got 14.
I know that. Rockies were the one who gave up that 34-minute inning last night.
Dodgers have an all-star. Can
you imagine starting opening day like that? And I know it's a marathon, and like today they could win by 10,
absolutely,
right?
But come on.
Going back into that dugout.
It was like a half-hour inning. You're just like, again?
I know. Again? I know. There's no mercy rule in Major League Baseball, huh? Nope. I'll just go Dodgers wins. Because, the question of like, Ohtani, how's everything going to affect him? He reached base 3 times yesterday.
Yeah.
On opening day, he reached base 3 times. Like, none of this is going to affect him. He's totally siloed on it, I imagine. until we find out something new. I don't know. Did you see, did you watch back the Tisha Thompson conversation that we had with yesterday with the reporter who broke this story?
Yeah.
It's just wild. It's totally wild. It's insane. It's there's an iceberg and there's a tip. And the question is does the Dodgers boat hit that iceberg to the point where they'll have fewer wins than Rockies have losses? I don't think so. Man. I'll still take the Dodgers there in terms of what's more likely. We will take a break. And a former Dodger employee, I believe, now a stand-up comedian of note, to say the least. Alex Edelman is joining us in advance of his stand-up special on Max coming up next.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. With Indeed, everything hiring is all in one place, and it makes it so easy. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences each day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. The more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join the more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Indeed.com/podcast. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Title Transference aired October 27, 2004. Director James Marshall, writers Todd Slavkin, Darren Swimmer. I really like this episode, and I'm surprised that you don't like it as much as you thought you did.
I actually respect your opinion more than I respect my own in general. When you say things are good and I check them out, they are.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Alex Edelman, just for us on HBO, coming up on Saturday, April 6th. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, we just saw a clip of what you're going to be seeing on April 6th on HBO. And then, of course, you can check out right here on the Roku portal through Max. Alex Edelman, just for us. Good to see you here, brother. How are you? So let's just jump right into it. So you worked for the Red Sox and the Dodgers?
Yeah, and one sad year at the Brewers in Milwaukee also, actually.
So what were you doing for these teams?
I worked in PR. I worked in some strategy. I did some media stuff. But yeah, I worked for a guy named Larry Lucchino, who is
Okay, I know him.
Yeah, I worked for Larry for close to 5 years at the Red Sox. And then I worked for a guy named Charles Steinberg at the Dodgers. Yeah. And 1 year at the Brewers, kind of working for nobody, which was the problem.
Look at you out there in front of the Green Monster.
Oh, my God.
Holding some pieces of metal, as they say.
That was the 07. I got to be in the parade that year, too, which is awesome. I got to be on the floats and everything like that. I got a nice little... Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Look at you. Look at that baby face.
I haven't seen this. Yeah, that was awesome, man. It was fantastic. And I was at the World Series in Colorado. We flew us all out to Colorado. Oh, that's Bobby Orr when I was... Oh, God.
Boston
was a great place to grow up, Boston. Sports fan, 2003 to 2008. You know, like, those years were unbelievable. Like, they were so fun.
You are aware that those years didn't exist before 2003 very much, right?
I was, because I started following in, like, 95, and the Red Sox got their butts kicked every year in a heartbreaking fashion by the Yankees in the wild card round of the ALCS. And we get clobbered. And my first year at the Red Sox was like 2003. And so I watched the Aaron Boone. It was just brutal. But I was in high school. So I was like doing my homework in the owner's box during like the 2004 ALCS, which is like the most vivid memory of my life. And I watched Lucchino and Theo and John and Tom pull out this yellow legal pad to write the speech for after the season.
Yeah.
Like they were going to, it was the speech saying, well, we lost to the Yankees. We got swept. And then Roberts got on base, and Lucchino went, put that thing away. Like, we might have a shot. and then in game five, that same yellow legal pad came out again, and they started writing it. Lucchino's a little superstitious. And when we tied the game, he went, I never want to see that yellow legal pad ever again. So, like, I think someone fished it out and gave it to Theo or gave it to Larry or something. But, like, I was there. I was, like, witnessing history. I was, like, sitting in the seat next to the Yankees dugout when Roberts stole second. And like in some of the footage, I can like see myself as like a little kid.
So what was the Yankee dugout look like after he stole second?
Torrey put his hands in his pockets and looked at one of the other coaches and shook his head and just sat down on the bench. But like he seemed pretty sanguine about the whole thing.
Well, I think he's sanguine about everything. That was always his superpower, is that he looked nothing. He never wore anything on his face.
He was very cool. And by the way, he was one of the those years, I don't think the Red Sox executives and the Yankees executives got along, but everyone loved Torrey. Everyone loved Joe Torrey back in the, and maybe because he and Lucchino both had like an Italian connection or something.
Could have been that. What was the year that Pedro threw Zimmer down on the ground? Were you there for that
one? I wasn't. I don't think.
What was the year for that one? Was that 04? Was that 04? Was it 03? 04? Was it before that?
I don't think it was 04.
Pedro just took Zimmer and threw him right down.
It was just brutal.
Because Manny acted like a pitch that was high and over, right over home plate.
Right, yeah.
It's like
close.
He crossed the plate. He totally overreacted, and then everything went haywire. Was that 03?
I think it was 03. There was a game in 2004 that was like the turnaround game. It was like a rain delay, and they wanted to call the game. And I don't know if this is public knowledge. It must be. Mm-hmm. But Kevin Millar went into like the groundskeeper's office. Dave Miller's like, we want to play today. Today we're gonna win. And so like whatever that was
did
like,
he tell that story a couple weeks ago?
Was
didn't
that
he?
Veritek punching A-Rod in the face? That was that.
Oh my god! It might have been that game. They had so much. Yeah. They had so much moxie.
That was the day back then.
That was the day Veritek spoke for a lot of Americans.
Oh yeah, it was really fantastic. A-Rod was a guy that we all did not care for.
No
back
kidding.
Then.
Yeah, I
don't want to say something brave and controversial.
Is that him when he was slapping at Christian Arroyo's glove? Or was it
Bronson Arroyo's
glove? Right.
Yeah. That moment though was the moment when I was watching it, because I was watching with other Red Sox employees in Boston, because that game was in New York. And someone looked at me and was like, this is the Boston curse. This is the moment where it all comes apart, when it looks like it's all going. And then they turned the call around and he looked at me and he's like, I don't know how to feel. Like it was just it's so crazy.
So how'd you get into stand-up? Years, were you always interested in stand-up?
I was always into stand-up. I was always, you know, frankly, if I'm being completely honest, I thought I'd work in baseball my whole life. But then I was at the Dodgers during the McCourt years and everything was going south so quickly. And I thought maybe my baseball career might not have the legs that I think it does. Mm-hmm. And stand-up always appealed to me as a thing where I don't have a boss.
Okay.
Where I just like do the thing. But yeah, I got pretty serious about it after college. I went to England and I lived in England for a little while and started working things out there. And yeah, caught a couple breaks. And it's just a hobby that got out of hand, Rich. You know, it's like
it's a hell of a hobby.
It's a fun hobby. But Sarah Tiana, Chris's wife, was big when I was starting out, very supportive. I had a lot of great peers, a lot of people that would like let me open for them on the road. It's fantastically like, you know, it's a fun community of people.
Well, it's not easy to do, man. I did it in college. And it was
really,
yeah, I did.
No way.
Yeah, for about 3 years.
Do you still think if someone tossed you up, you could do 5 minutes?
I mean, I'm a corporate stooge now, so I don't know if I could really do the same act that I did back in the day.
Do you think he could do?
I think you could do it. You're really great on the mic, and you're great you're a great storyteller. So I think you could get up and easily tell, you know, 5 minutes worth of sports stories.
Last time I did it when I was on SportsCenter, and you know, I was really excited because you know Susie was there, and God, she'd never seen me do it. I was terrible. I wasn't very good.
But you're really comfortable speaking in front of people, so it's. I think it would be.
It would be weird if he wasn't.
But it was so. It's so tough. It is the toughest thing I've ever done.
You're in Canton, man. Let's be honest. That's,
yeah, when you do
well, the great stuff. Material.
You definitely.
That's
do.
Like a great Michigan's given me great material in the state of Ohio.
Michigan's really. I visited for the first time a couple of weeks ago. It was fantastic.
Oh, good.
Went to Zingerman's and the whole thing.
Oh, you know? The deli.
Oh my God! Everywhere I go though, because I'm like, you know, everyone thinks I'm like. They're like, oh, he's Jewish. He's going to want to go to the deli. So, like, wherever I go, any city, I'm in Indianapolis. And they're like, you've got to visit Shapiro's. Like, oh, my God. If you don't go, it's like you haven't. It's I'll go to these, like, tiny towns in Wales. And like, you know, we have a deli here. And I'm like, I'm not in Wales for the deli. You right. know, like, I live between New York and Los Angeles. I've been to a couple good ones.
Wales has a deli?
Wales has a deli. I was in Aberystwyth in Wales. And they're like, have you been down to Maury's? And I was like, Maury's?
Welsh Deli?
Maury's of what? Where
is Maury's of Aberystwyth.
Okay.
They're like,
that's a mouthful?
Oh, you got to get down to Maury's. Their corned beef sandwiches are to die for. And I'm like, on. No, they're not.
So is it like a New York Jew sitting there in Aberystwyth or whatever it's called?
My wife moved to Aberystwyth and I knew I had to get them the right kind of pickles and that's what we got now. And so like, it's fantastic though.
So you must have gone to summer camp the whole bit, right? You do?
I mean, yeah.
No?
I went to summer camp. I was already working, so I would do half the summer at summer camp, then half the summer at Fenway.
Okay.
But like, but yeah, I went to summer camp. I went to yeshiva. I went to like rabbinical school in Israel for a year and
did
all that
really?
Stuff. Oh, yeah.
Were you cut out for it?
No, I'm a stand-up comedian. My job was to preach to the non-Jews. It's
one of the toughest moments of my childhood was telling my paternal grandfather that his dream of me being a rabbi one day was not going to happen.
Wait, that's... Really?
That's a true story.
I don't want to be like, I don't want to alienate any of your audience here. How Jewish were you? Like, how Jewish were you? There's a deli you got to check out.
Why would that alienate any of my audience, Alex?
I don't know. I'm assuming they've tuned in to hear about whether or not Jacoby's going to start for the Patriots, not whether or not you had rabbinical aspirations.
I think it's more likely for Jacoby Brissett to start for the Patriots than me being a rabbi.
I think that's true.
My dad's dad, my paternal grandfather, thought one day, he was very religious, he thought maybe one day I could be a rabbi. And well, I had to break it, I remember where it was, I remember what, you know, in his house, in his home, where his grandchildren would play with their toys. I went in there and I said to him, you know, this is just not going to happen, Grandpa Morris.
You're sort of the NFL's rabbi. Right? You're sort of like, you were ordained by Paul Tagliabue. And you're, you know, that's where you got your swing on. Now you're
more likely Bob Kraft. You know, if I had to choose.
When I was in Israel, he put a football field in Jerusalem, like within eyeshot of my school. Genuinely, like I remember looking out the window one day, I was like, is that Bob Kraft? And
probably.
Bob and Myra had come to Israel. They put a flag football field in the middle of Jerusalem. I think it's still there. They're like, it's called Kraft Stadium. The stadium is roughly like, you know, the worst high school in like the middle of Illinois or something like that. It's got like metal bleachers on one side and like a chain link fence around it. They're like, it's Kraft Stadium.
Kraft Stadium.
Kraft Family Stadium.
Kraft Family. Is that really what it is?
Look it up.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Is it still there?
Yeah, it looks like it's still there. Built in 2000.
On Friday night, they have Kraft Services.
Built in 2000.
Yeah. All right, very good. Alex Edelman here on the Rich Eisen Show. So where was this shot?
This was shot on Broadway.
And Hudson Theater in New York?
Yeah, the Hudson in New York. It's the oldest and newest Broadway theater, and that it was.
Dude, this they is just renovated fantastic. It. You're on Broadway, and you're shooting your special. Congratulations
the show
on
was,
that.
This show in particular has been like kind of a nice little rocket ship. You know, I started doing it in like a pub in England behind a shoe store to like 11 people, and then it sort of built and built thanks to like some nice folks like Mike Birbiglia, who's a really great comic.
Yes.
He produced it in New York because he thought maybe there was something in it. Mm-hmm. And then like, you know, all the comedy great, like Seinfeld came and Steve Martin came and like started telling people about it. And so it just kind of went and went and eventually it went to Broadway for a couple months. And it was like craziest thing ever. And this guy, Alex Timbers, who does all the Mulaney stuff, he shot the special for us and directed it. It was like, it's the craziest thing that's ever happened to me. I like genuinely can't believe it.
Like, and what is it like when Seinfeld says, you know, good stuff?
Well,
what's that like?
When Seinfeld was there, I remember thinking like, how did anyone ever shoot Abe Lincoln? Because like I kept looking at Seinfeld the entire time. Like the whole audience was looking at Seinfeld. And I'm like, when Lincoln was there, wasn't everyone like, does Lincoln like the show? You know, like is Lincoln into the play?
Just taking a look at the entire
just
time.
Lincoln, like, oh no, Lincoln, look out. You know, but like it was genuinely.
Is that really what you're thinking Lincoln, while you're out. Seeing Seinfeld?
Genuinely, I'm watching Seinfeld and I'm like, it's like one of the heads on Mount Rushmore being in the audience.
Of course.
Like it was crazy.
Which, by the way, Lincoln is a head on Mount Rushmore.
No. Yeah, that was my analogy, Rich.
I'm sorry.
Maybe this stand-up comedy thing isn't going to work out for you. No. Welcome to the roast of Rich Eisen.
No, that's okay.
That would be great.
Nothing better than roast humor out of a monument. That's great.
Wait, tell me, has there been a roast of Rich Eisen?
No.
Oh,
that would be a really good idea.
What would I even be roasted on? My screen time? How I scroll?
Come on, man.
We roasted him at the end of hour two.
Come on.
Really?
Kind of.
That'd be fantastic.
Over the fact that I'm a pacer when I talk on the phone. I pace a lot.
That
I can't stand still.
You think that's your most roastable quality?
I don't. That's what I'm saying. Is I don't know what roastable. Okay, like now we're
Chris
entering.
Chris is really, no, really.
See, when Chris doesn't
Chris
look,
and Jason
when
are
Chris
like,
doesn't look, he doesn't want to be involved. What? Like, what? What's Chris, roastable?
What's roastable quality?
We've got only 20 minutes left in the show.
Come on,
you know what I mean.
All right,
and I like my job, so I'm not.
Oh, stop.
Oh my God. I'm not trying. I'm not trying to start anything. I mean, like, oh my
everybody gosh. Is roastable.
Okay.
It,
by the way, that sounds like the name of a comedy special.
Like your position. So, yeah, it's going to be great.
Okay. Rich Eisen, roastable. That's a really good.
Roastable.
Okay.
It also sounds like a bad lunch package for kids in the 90s. Like, my mom gave me roastables for lunch. Like, damn it.
I'll trade you this tuna.
Yeah. Hey, but Seinfeld, when Seinfeld comes, it's like, but genuinely, he's really, really, I try not to look at him too much, but when I heard him laugh at something, I went, And I was like,
got a hat out of him.
Seinfeld's. And you know the best part is Billy Crystal came and everyone was wearing a mask at the time. And Billy Crystal's wearing like a mask, and like a pork pie hat, like a sort of like Norman Lear style hat.
Yeah.
And I look at him and I just see the hat going up and down. Like, I don't know if he laughed, but he was like nodding at a lot of stuff. And so afterwards, like, you get to talk to these guys. And like every time anyone who came, I asked them for a note.
Because
like you get Seinfeld or Billy Crystal or Steve Martin in there. You want to know what they would do better. And all of them, initially, they're like, no. And then after I drilled them, they were like, yeah, well, here's the thing I didn't like, or here's the thing I would change.
They really did tell you that, huh?
It was great. I got a little bit of punch. So, you know, people should watch a special because it's co-written by Jerry Seinfeld, Steve Martin, and Billy Crystal.
Attaboy.
Yeah, I like those guys. Then,
damn straight. How did you wind up hosting Norman Lear's 100th birthday?
Wow, dude. I mean, here's the honest truth. The honest truth is, I think there were so many people who were actually qualified to do it, they didn't want to pick one because he knew the other, like, 99 would be offended.
Okay.
So, I think Norman saw some of my stuff, and he was actually, you know, Norman died this year. He's 101 years old.
Uh-huh, right.
102 would be ancient. But,
yes.
Norman really... Norman liked my stuff and was always really supportive and always, you know, he would call me and offer encouragement or advice. And I got this random call on like a Thursday. They were like, Norman's turning 100 and he'd like you to host a special for ABC. And it just was like, I thought it was a joke. Cause like, why not ask? And when I came out on stage, everyone was like, who is this? Who's this guy?
Come on.
But they let me do whatever I wanted. I got Norman toured a copy of the Declaration of Independence around the United States for a year to like get kids to like learn more about history. I was like, Norman, he paid like $5 million for it. I was like, Norman, we got you a copy of the Declaration of Independence off of Amazon for $35. So like, and I was like, and it's going to be worth more because I'm going to ask Tony Danza to sign it. So like, Tony Danza's like got some guy. He's never heard of me. He has no idea who I am. And I'm like, Tony, will you sign the thing? And he was like, seriously? And I'm like, that's unbelievable. I made him sign it big so the British know who the boss is.
But like, it was the John Hancock of Taxi.
Yeah. It was awesome, Tony Danza, everybody. It's like the best thing ever.
So everybody should watch the special Alex Edelman Just For Us debuts Saturday, April 6th at 10 on HBO. By the way, I believe that's the night before the Curb finale. So it's a nice weekend on HBO. And will be available to stream on Max, which is available right here on the Roku portal. Pleasure to meet you, sir.
Thanks so much for having me.
Anytime.
This is so cool.
You're not LA-based, right? You're out there.
I'm back and forth between here. And we didn't even get to talk Patriots, but I know you guys are going to
talk about? I mean, is there something to talk about?
Much to talk about.
I mean...
How you're like the rest of us now. You're in the rest of us. You're in the mosh pit with the rest of us.
You know,
after
20
plus years of being behind the velvet ropes.
The Steelers have 50 quarterbacks. Can we borrow Justin Fields for like 6 weeks? Is that okay?
We
could have got him.
You could have got him.
For nothing.
It's pathetic. I'm so bummed.
You're going to be fine. I like the new coach. I think they're going to, you just got to get used to the new Patriot way.
Yeah, what did the old coach ever do for us, right?
Like, I mean, like, he's such a bum. Well, get him out of town.
Did you watch Dynasty? He had nothing to do with
that. That's right. Dude,
my God. I'm staying away from that. That's the one controversial topic where I'm like, I don't want any part of this. No.
At Alex Edelman on Instagram. Thanks for coming on here, brother.
Dude, thanks you for
come back anytime. You got it. Let's
love that.
Absolutely. And maybe when you're Seinfeld's new movie, you're in Unfrosted coming
in. I'm in the Pop-Tart movie. I play the Apple Jacks mascots. And maybe I'm, I don't genuinely. Genuinely, I Hugh Grant plays Tony the Tiger, so I don't know that it's exactly a...
That's right. Awesome. This is actually happening.
Wow.
A is for Apple, J is for Jacks. Cinnamon Toasty Apple Jacks. And Unfrosted in May, and again, the special just for us. Check it out on HBO coming up on Saturday, April 6th. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Back to wrap up this show in a moment on The Rich Eisen Show.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
I got an email today from the LenPenzo.com HR department. I find really interesting. I'm an employee of one at this company, but somebody from the HR department sent me an email telling me that I had a raise. If I just opened the attachment, I could see how much my raise was.
Make sure you click on the links that are in there, too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I can't wait. I'm excited.
Find out more by searching the Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
Hi there. Sorry for the interruption, but are you enjoying this show on Google Podcasts? You should know that the Google Podcasts app is going away this spring. That's right, going away, gone as in no longer available. You can still enjoy this show elsewhere, though. Try out Spotify or Amazon Music, or maybe TuneIn is more your style. Whatever app you switch to. Be sure to follow so you never miss the next episode. And thanks for listening, wherever you listen.
You are an accomplished water skiing enthusiast.
Yes,
I am.
You
once worked as a water skiing instructor.
Yes, I am.
When the Happy Days writers found out, they wrote it into the script.
Yes.
And that's how Jump the Shark was born.
Okay, my father said to me, "Tell Gary Marshall you water ski." I said, "I'm not telling him I water. Tell him you water ski." So he told me enough times, I went to Gary, I said, "I'm just going to say this. My father wants you to know I'm a water skier, and I was a counselor in camp as a water skiing counselor." All of a sudden, I'm water skiing. I pull up on the beach. I let go of the rope. I pull up on the beach. I step out of the skis, and I go, "Hey, look at that," and I'm smiling. Mm-hmm. If you watch the scene, half of that smile is the Fonz going, "Hey, I did it." And the other half is Henry going, "Oh, I can't believe you did it." True.
And you are aware of the phrase "jump the shark."
I am.
And it's meaning within the pop culture lexicon,
I am.
Right?
A young man, John Heim.
John Heim. Yeah, he's a Michigan guy.
A Michigan guy in his dorm room.
Yeah.
With his roommate, don't know his name. They came up with the phrase "jump the shark" because of that episode.
Yes.
And I met him years later. Now, this is America. He comes up with a phrase. There's a book. There's a game. He's on the radio, on the Howard Stern Network.
That's true.
Now, people say, "How did you feel?" Well, you know, that this phrase, "jump the shark," every time they mentioned it, and it was in the newspaper, they had a picture of me water skiing. At that time, I had great legs. So I didn't care for 1 minute. We were number one for 5 years after that. What did I care?
That's
that
true.
There was a phrase.
That's true. That's true. That's Henry Winkler's appearance here on The Rich Eisen Show. Back on The Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at The Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com. Or just stop by. That was fun stuff right there. All right, let's catch up on some phone calls. Folks have been hanging on for a bit. Who's that in Denver, Colorado? Raider Dave. What's up, Raider Dave? In Colorado?
Raider,
you're an enemy country, Raider Dave. You're an enemy country.
I laugh every day. Are you kidding?
Okay. I laugh every day.
What's
up? The interview was great. I came up with a book title that I don't think anybody would have ever thought of, which would be Rich Eisen, Stand-Up Radio Rabbi.
Stand-Up Radio Rabbi.
Well, new fantasy team name, Rabbitical Aspirations.
Rabbitical. Nice.
It'd probably be a little more creative than running in street shoes. But
it's all good, Raider Dave. I like it. It's great. What's on your mind?
I have to tell you, after working 34 years in radio and still going, that Larry David interview last week was comedy gold. You need to have him back after he's done with his show.
Oh,
that was some of the best radio I've heard in decades.
Thank you.
It was fantastic.
It was great.
So,
quickly,
your rookie quarterback carousel. Didn't Arizona flick the spinner on that with Josh Rosen and Kyler Murray almost back-to-back?
They did. Not almost. It was back-to-back. That actually happened.
Yeah.
They did cycle out.
You're onto something. So here's my scenario with the Raiders draft that I keep getting, you know, thrown back that I'm crazy. But it just seems to me there's no way to move the two, and you can't move up previous to the draft if you don't guarantee you're going to be able to get what AP wants, which is Daniels. So there's only three really good right tackles in the draft. Everybody else that you would draft, you'd have to switch sides. That's hard enough getting into the NFL. You don't want to do that. But I think it's you got to trade back just a hair and still get Latham or somebody, and then use that equity to go from 44 back up into the first to get Penix or something, where you're going to have a good right tackle to protect his blind side. But it seems to me that, yeah, there's a lot of corners, but I keep getting flack for people who think the Raiders should grab corners. They're like, there's a lot more corners than there are, you know, right tackles. And no matter who's back there, AOC or anybody, you can't run the ball. You can't do anything without a good line. So I just don't understand why that scenario just kind of keeps getting thrown back at me. Any ideas?
I mean, Fatanu's going to be out there for the Raiders to get. Fuaga might be out there for the Raiders to get.
Right.
And Matt Miller was on an hour number one, put Bo Nix there. And Mel Kiper put Bo Nix in Denver at 12. So there are two ESPN draft analysts who think Bo Nix is a top dozen prospect or a top Baker's dozen prospect. And so
I don't see how the Raiders can even try to get to 6, 7, or 8 to make it more
expensive
for Washington, because by that point you've already spent some of your draft capital in the deal to get to Washington at 2.
Correct.
I just don't see it happening. That's why I'm thinking you gotta take the right tackle, you gotta get back in for a 5th year option on a quarterback, whoever it is, and then select corner after that.
Thanks for the call, Raider Dave. Call back. Greatly appreciate it.
You got it, man.
Appreciate it. Nice set of pipes out of Raider Dave right there. He's ain't in radio. That makes sense. You know, he's not in radio, except when he calls into the Rich Eisen show. It's been a while. Alan Dallas back on the Rich Eisen show. What's up, Al? How you been, pal?
Listen, although on especially being at Good Friday and the religion came up, although you would have added a lot of value in the rabbinical field, you are a much more value-added player here. Doing what you do. So happy holidays to everyone that's out there that celebrates. It's been a while. I've been a little crazy. I've been a little busy with work, but I've been listening and doing my thing. And I've been telling Brockman, because I listen early in the morning to the WFAN. You're always getting talked about, Richard, there about how you are breaking news on the day on the I almost called him Dave Brown, by the way, Daniel Jones situation. So it's Rich Eisen's name is always being populated back in the on the 660 WFAN. So, I thought you'd want to know.
Well, the rumor that I came back from the combine, I heard multiple times that the Giants are done with Daniel Jones. They are done with him, and they are publicly saying that he's the guy that they can win with, and that they fully believe he can be a starting quarterback in the league, is because they know that when he does return this year, he is going to be their best option. Heaven forbid he comes back and plays like the guy that won and done the Vikings a couple of playoffs ago. And then potentially he could be a viable threat to stick around, you know, that you're not going to publicly come out and say to the Giants fans, even though some are just like you who want them to admit they screwed this thing up. They're not going to do that. They don't need to do that. Nobody ever does anything like that. But I've been told that everything that they're going to be doing in their power is to make sure that they find the guy that does not tie themselves to Daniel Jones for a while. And the other, you know, if you will, rumors that I came back with, Jaden Daniels being number two. I think that's going to be the one. That's going to be the case. Caleb Williams is definitely the one, which, again, you might say, but what a really thick limb that rumor went out on. But at the time, there was still a serious conversation about it. I think that's going to be borne true. And then coming back saying, you know, the Cowboys' all sense of all in is not what you think. And the sense of all in is they're going to make Dak play out his contract. That sure seems to be a check mark next to that. So I understand that Giants fans are thinking that I'm breaking news. It's just a rumor that I heard, and I have no idea if it's going to be born to be true or not.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Hey, Brockman.
What's up, buddy?
How about a pair of sevens tonight?
What is that?
He knows what I'm talking about.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Al. Greatly appreciate it. You be well. Game Time Tickets. Get that app on a mobile device right near you. Make sure that you start buying tickets, because it's easy. It's simple to use. In two taps, you can buy tickets to any event in your area. Alex Edelman is going to be As you know, he's got events all over the country. He's got one on Broadway that he just shot, and you can get tickets to comedy events. You can get tickets to theater events. It's a new relationship between Game Time and Major League Baseball, and the ticket prices go down closer to first pitch. There's so many different ways for you to find out how easy it is and how better it is for you to buy tickets using Game Time. Make sure you actually go and get it on an app right now. It makes things so much easier, and you can use my promo code of Rich, and you get $20 off your first purchase with RICH. That's my code that you can use. Make sure that everything that's out there is put on your phone. Create an account and redeem that code. RICH, $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Boom!
Fun show, everybody. Great. Thanks to Albert Breer. Thanks Great to week. Alex Edelman Great for be appearing in studio. Thanks to Matt Miller. I mean, we had about an hour conversation together with Miller and Breer.
Yeah.
We're just trying to front load everything right in front of you. Enjoy tonight's March Madness on Friday night. Next week, I'll be with Suze and the kids on spring break on a trip, not a vacation. So next week, Kirk Morrison will be the guest host Monday. Jim Jackson Tuesday and Wednesday. And David Sampson will be here Thursday and Friday. And, of course, I'll be back in time for the national championship game. And on the Roku side, I'll be back to wrap up this week and Friday in a moment.
Hey, everybody. This is Dan Bespris, host of Fantasy NBA Today, a daily fantasy basketball podcast. We cover every box score from every game, every day, plus bonus shows on buy low opportunities, players to stash, schedule analysis, and really anything you could need to smash your league into deliciously tiny pieces.
Catch the Fantasy NBA Today podcast, part of the Believe Network, on YouTube or wherever you listen.